Hey, greetings, everybody. It's Brother Tupos with Sister Amen. Sister Amen, are you ready for some edification of the saints? What did we do today?
Oh, we did a lot.
What did we do today?
We got to stand for the Lord. Praise God.
Yeah, we went out. We went out and we preached at a thing called Cranfest in Central Wisconsin. And there was oceans and oceans and oceans of people. I think there's like 100,000 people there.
Yeah.
They claim there's like 250,000 over a couple days. And so we got to preach to a whole bunch of people. Me, Sister Amen, and young brother Kuo stood out with gospel signs. We withstood rain a couple times. But we got to preach, and we had some really, really good encounters with some, Sister Amen mostly, with some seekers, brother Kuo a few. And then I had some different situations I guess we can talk about, but. It was a glorious day. What's on your mind about it, Sister Amen? We'll talk about our preach today. We went and stood, got up really early, got out there, got a parking spot, and then just went and walked the streets of this festival.
Yeah, I was just thinking about how thankful I am, and I know you are too, to be able to go do that, to be able to travel, to get there, and to be in the opportunity to be standing right in amongst all those people if there's a sheep. And I know I talked to a handful of people that couple of them seemed to be really, really listening. Actually, a few of them did. So praise God for that. And to be able to stand for the glory of God, because there's so many people calling themselves of Christ, but living in wickedness and sin. And I was calling them out.
Their crisis have no effect of their life.
Yeah, right. And you know what? That reminds me. A brother just said it tonight. He said that it seems like the pagans fear their God more than the Christians fear.
Yeah, the pagans fear their false God more than the Christians fear the one true God.
Yeah, I don't know how many times I heard, I shouldn't have to fear God because on the back of my sign says fear God, but the front has the church's lie and Jesus' truth.
Yeah, and I asked literally thousands of people today, does anyone fear God? And not one person raised their hand.
You know what? I did that throughout the day.
Not one person raised their hand in any form. And it was amazing to me. We saw a lot of religious people walk up to me and go, amen, brother, good job. And I'd say, good job, what do you mean? They're like, you're preaching the gospel. I'm like, how come you aren't, sir? Well, you know, I'm not called to do that. And then I talked to them quickly, and they're a Baptist or Lutheran or Roman Catholic. And they're just in the world entertaining themselves, but telling the preacher, good job. And when you try to give them the gospel, they're not interested in the gospel. Because, see, the true gospel will transform their life. And then I saw two Catholic priests walking down the street, and I got to call them out in love. They didn't want to answer the word of God. They just ignored me completely. They didn't want to talk about God, the gospel, nothing. Another man in a booth, a little camper trailer that was giving out a false gospel, I got to share the truth with him. So a lot of activity. It was awesome to get to stand in front of the massive amounts of people and just lift up Christ crucified and have people just hear someone in the streets and the broad road to destruction, lifting up and defending Christ's truth and preaching him crucified. It's just an awesome thing we get to do.
I love that. We're undeserving of it.
Yeah, amen. We're not worthy, but we strive to be worthy.
Yeah, I was thinking about this. Matthew 22:32, to lift up God. I am the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living.
Amen.
I love that. He's a living God. He's not a dead God like the pagan gods, you know, the ones they fear. We should fear that living God.
And the young brother just, it was his first like really big preach because he's kind of new at street preaching. And he was just amazed at how dead the masses of hundreds and thousands of people coming at him at a time. And he said, they just don't hear it. They just ignore you. You're talking about Jesus. You're talking about eternal life. You're talking about his shed blood. And they just ignore you for trinkets and food. They're more interested in trinkets and food.
He
said, it's amazing. Then he did have a few people that talked to him, and he had some good conversations. Sister Amen, tell us about a couple of your good conversations you had.
Oh, yeah. One of the first ones was a 16-year-old. A young woman and her little brother, maybe 10 years old. I think we talked for 15 or 20 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
I can't remember. Yeah, I kind of called her out. And everybody I talked to today, I was like calling people out why they're wasting their time. You know, they're going to lose their soul and they're in Satan's kingdom. And it kind of drew some of them to me. And to be able to talk to her, she just like soaked it all up. And her young brother, he stood there too, and he was nodding and smiling. And yeah, it was pretty awesome. They soaked it up. There was another woman who said she's bisexual, and I had a really nice long conversation with her.
She's the one that came up, and I thought she was a mocker at first, and then I offered her the gospel, and she listened, and she just changed her demeanor, and I got to share quite a bit with her, and then you walked up and got to share with her for a long time.
Oh, yeah, I went young, from everything.
A young woman, 18, and she was receiving the truth of God, and we see, as we've been seeing all summer, the older generation seems like they're turned over, and they mock, and they laugh the things of God. The younger ones are listening to what we say and pondering it.
Right. I was a little bit surprised because there was three women, maybe my age or older, that actually stood and listened to truth.
That's rare.
They stopped. Yeah, one of them got called out because she said, oh, I'm a believer. And I said, well, you're going to lose your soul in Satan's kingdom if you don't repent and be born into God's kingdom. And she spun right back around and came over. And we got to talk for a while. And another couple, one's a Roman Catholic and one goes to the Baptist church. And I called them out. One came over and she said, you must be very courageous to do this. And I said, well, it's all of God. And I said, I'm going to be more courageous and I'm going to talk to you about how you need to go deeper. And she kind of smiled. Yeah. And her friend or mom, whoever it was, they both agreed that the places that they're going to have lies. So I was trying to show them how they need to be called out and separate from that. And they were very receptive. So
yeah, the theme today was at a lot of these worldly preaches is if you have a gospel that hasn't called you out of the world, you have a false gospel and a false Jesus. So the people, we entreat them to come to Christ, the people that claim Christ, we say, how come your gospel hasn't called you out of the world? Jesus said his sheep aren't of the world. So we kind of juggle those two, unbelievers with believers, and we try to preach to the people knowing what they need. And so that's kind of the double message that we give. The people of the world have to come to the knowledge of Christ and come out. The people that are in churchianity got to come to the real Savior. They're following a false Jesus that lets them keep all of these false ways. And Satan's kingdom is really where they dwell, and they need to be entering and seeking after the kingdom of God.
Right. I love sharing that.
Yeah,
that's awesome news.
Yeah.
Well, I was thinking about, you know, and I preach about this today, too. The preaching of the cross is foolishness to them who are perishing. But we know those who are seeking truth, they'll come right up and talk.
It's
awesome. I love it.
Yeah, it's absolutely true. Thousands can walk by you and ignore you, and one person comes up and talks and listens like a sponge.
Yeah, I was thinking about Noah's day and the flood. You know, eating and drinking and what's coming again, and sudden destruction comes upon them. And I was sharing about that today, too. And when you see the masses of people, you know, they would come in big droves, and then there would be a little open space, and then there would be more big droves. There was a few points we were walking down some of the...
It was like a sea of people.
We had to stop and wait. But, you know, if you lift up your voice and you preach about Christ, they'll move out of the way for you. So
they
you
do.
Can get away from them and
they
just
get
keep
out of
moving
way.
On through.
They stop and let you go by.
Yeah, but there were people listening. I
had
several people around throughout the day.
We talked to an older Baptist man that listened, and he agreed that the church is full of a bunch of sin.
Mm-hmm.
People agree with it, but they don't leave it, and that's the problem. They're going to know the truth, and they're going to miss the truth, even though it's been revealed to them, and that'll be a sorrowful day for them. And we go to be a light, and we also go to be, hopefully it's a conviction to them, because they're going to be either glorified with God or they're going to be condemned by God. Either one, God's glorified either way. So we just get to lift up the gospel, stand in the path, and our whole goal is to get these lost souls, whether they're church people or worldly people, that are deceived or self-deceived or in spiritual slumber, we just try to go and wake them up. We just try to stand in their path. They see our gospel signs, they hear us preaching, and we try to wake them up to the reality that death is coming, judgment's coming, Christ is coming. You better deal with the Savior and find out where you are with him, because when you die or if he returns, it's too late.
Right. And I've set my mind on the fact that when we go to these places, or anywhere in the world, really, but especially where there's a big concentration of people, that when we go into it, I'm kind of looking through the crowd of people thinking, maybe there's a sheep, maybe there's a sheep. And as you're preaching out to the people and they just walk by and laugh or ignore it, it's like, well, it wasn't for you, it wasn't for you. Maybe it's for this one that I just got to talk to.
Yeah.
You know, it's like throwing your fishing pole in there and you might get a nibble out of it. You know, an all-day-long thing where all the fish go by, but maybe one bites.
Yeah, amen. And as we said yesterday, we met a brother that's a close brother of ours now at this same event 2 years ago. And young brother Kuo that's out preaching with us, we met him out street preaching. So for those that have ears to hear and eyes to see, street preaching works. The Bible, they street preach. Jesus was a street preacher. So was Paul, John the Baptist, Peter. So we don't get discouraged by the numbers because the Bible is clear. Will there be any love left? The love's going to wax cold. Will there be any faith left in the last days? We see the world heading more and more and more secular and turning against the things of God. We know it's going to go that way. We're just being faithful to the call that God sent us out, said, go, invite them in, warn them about the wrath that's coming like the prophets did, call them to repentance, and those that have ears to hear are going to come.
Yeah, and you used the word secular. One of the women I called out today, and she turned around. I thought she was going to be mad, but she actually stood there and listened. And she said, yeah, the churches are becoming more secular.
Yep.
So she's seeing it. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
The church has emerged with the world more and more. So we just want to stand. And Jesus said, go be salt and be light. What does salt do? Preserve the truth. What does light do? It points the way. And we can't dim our light down. We can't remove our salt. We know that people don't like how we preach, but yet that's exactly the truth that they need to hear.
Amen.
So that's why we
praise
go, and
God.
That's why we do that. Yeah.
Yeah. I love that.
Anything else, Sister Emma?
Just on the preach
or anything.
Well, here, I got another scripture verse for being out on the streets.
Yeah.
There could be a whole bunch, but I just picked one. Proverbs 22:10. Cast out the scorner and contention shall go out. Yea, strife and reproach shall cease.
Yeah.
And we notice that when you get mockers and stuff, if you don't entertain them and if you just tell them the truth and then let them go, they end up going away and doing what they do.
Yep, amen. Yeah, one guy today was mad that I rebuked his ministry in love. I was nice. I just told him, I said, you're teaching a false gospel. He came and walked around me for 10 seconds with a bullhorn.
Mm.
That's about all it lasted was 10 seconds. We were out there for 6 or 7 hours. And it lasted 10 seconds with a bullhorn, and he was gone. And that's about all he's got. And so, yeah, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. We find that to be so true. And the police were there today. I got to thank the police. So everything was good. Didn't really have a lot of aggressive people. They know us at this festival because we preach there so many times.
Yeah.
So they know who we are, and they just leave us alone. Although they did try to almost run me over with their golf carts a couple times. They come real close.
Oh, I know.
They purposely drive real close to you. And if they ever hit us, they'd have a lot of problems if they hit anybody. But they purposely drive real close because they dislike us so much.
I noticed that. I didn't know if it was an accident. Oh, but
no.
Now that you say that, because I was thinking, hey, because I moved out of the way and I was over there talking to somebody and he came right by. If I wouldn't have moved my foot, he would have ran over it.
Yep.
And I thought, I wasn't going to make a false judgment, but it seems to me that
people of the world hate the truth of God. So we get to stand, we get to be salt and light and move all over that festival. And I notice a lot of people standing and watching and listening my preaching, listening.
Yep.
So you never know what that's going to do to people. They don't come up and talk. They don't take a gospel card. They can go to the website. And so that's my hope, is that we're casting out the breadcrumbs of truth and the gospel, Christ crucified, warning of the wrath that's coming, and people will take it from there and act upon it.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting because as you like go in a circle and move around and you're sharing with people, I know I was looking at people and they'd like look away, but you could tell they're listening.
Yep.
In fact, there was a cart with a couple men and a couple old ladies there, and two of the men, they were like turning trying to listen. And then when I looked at them, they turned away, but then they kept looking back.
Yeah, we're quite an anomaly out there because there's not many people that do what we do. And there's hardly, there are a few street preachers every once in a while, but very few. And then nobody preaches the way we preach, meaning calling people out of the world to the biblical gospel, calling them to holiness and obedience and out of the churches. Most of the street preachers are all like Baptist guys that invite you to their church. And so the message that we preach is God's message. It's biblical, but it's foreign to this lost world.
Yeah,
and people go, what are you talking about? And you just show them in scripture and they don't want to see it because the true gospel will totally destroy most of their lives.
Right.
And they got to want that.
Amen.
Yeah. So anything else about the preach today?
No, not about the preach, but I did have a couple other things.
Yep, we were going to go back tomorrow, but it looks like it's going to rain all night. It's going to rain tomorrow, so I think we're done there. We're not going to be able to go back. Tomorrow's going to be an online day, and pretty soon we're excited, Lord willing. We're going to be headed south with young Brother Kuo to go down and see another brother, and we're working our way down towards Missouri. We got some preaches on the way, so I'm excited about that, to spend some time with a young brother and just glorify God together.
Oh, I'm excited. You know why? There's a package on the way down there for me.
Oh, yeah, sister.
I have some head coverings at a sister sewed for me, and I'm looking forward to them.
From out of Canada.
Yeah, that'll be exciting.
Yep, our sister that came from Australia and is in Canada now sewed you some head covering, so they'll be waiting for you down in Missouri.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yep,
yeah, and you know what's interesting about the head covering? That one woman that came over to talk to you, and then I talked to her.
Yep.
She wanted to know about my head covering.
That young woman.
Yep, she kept looking at it, and that's why she came over. She said, I wanted to know why you had that hat or that thing on your head.
Right, yeah.
And wondering who we were and what kind of belief we had or if we were Christian. She didn't know how to say it. She had no clue.
And I'm just going to say this, the last thing about our preach, I'm always amazed. The churchgoers, the Catholics, the Lutherans, the Baptists, the middle-age, older-age people, they mock us. They hate us. They don't even want to talk about the things of God. A couple say, hey, good job, brother. And as soon as you start talking about the gospel, they don't want nothing to do with it. And I'm always amazed. Who do we have the best conversations with? An 18-year-old. She said she's a bisexual seeking for truth in her life. And she stands and talks for 20 minutes. The churchgoers hate us. I'm just always amazed by that. Never ceases to amaze me. The lowly, the more sinful people, the culture would say, the more wicked people, according to them. No, they're not. They're not any more wicked than the guy in the Sunday pew. But the world looks at them that way. They're ready to receive the truth of God. And the people that think they got it going on, they're all puffed up in pride. And they're ready to roll over you. And they don't even want to hear the truth of God.
Yeah, and you know, it was interesting. Most of the people there were the older ones.
Yeah.
There were very few of the younger ones.
Yep. Yeah, true.
So, yeah.
Yeah, most of the people there were over 40.
Oh, yeah,
definitely. It's that kind of a festival.
Yeah.
Yeah. But so what else do we got to talk about today besides our preach? And that preach will be going up. We might get it posted tomorrow. You never know now that the rain stopped or the rain's coming. So that preach will be posted up probably tomorrow.
Yeah, we'll see. Lord willing. Well, hopefully. You and the brothers were talking about many different things tonight, and one of them was the Lord's Supper.
I was going to ask you about that. Can I ask my question?
No, you
go ahead. If you got a thought,
go ahead.
No, I was going to ask you, we all partook of the Lord's Supper today, and I was just wondering, the brothers all got to share, and now it's just you and I here. What did that mean to you? What's the depths of it, or what did you want to share? What's your thoughts of that?
Well, basically, I went and found some scripture I'd like
awesome.
To read. I want to read the whole chapter, but I just picked some of it.
Yeah.
It's Isaiah 53.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that to me, the whole thing just encompasses everything there is, I think. But I was going to read verses 10 through 12. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his need. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and he made intercession for the transgressors.
Amen. That's what our Lord did for us.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
And we're not worthy of it.
And that's what the Lord's Supper is supposed to do, is remind us of that and do it in remembrance of him till he comes.
Yeah, and it says he was numbered with the transgressors, and us, we were transgressors in our sins before him. And because of him, we can be washed by the blood of Christ. I don't know how many times I expounded on that today with great joy and zeal to invite people to come to the marriage supper of the Lamb, that they could be washed by the blood of Christ.
Yeah, yeah, and we try to walk the line of preaching the truth, but we don't ever want to feel like, and we don't, we're not better than those people, because we used to be those people of the world, and that Christ saved us, but for the grace of God, there go us. So we know that we're just different. We're not better.
No.
And so we try to entreat people and invite them to come in. And yeah, we warn them about wrath and we warn them about hell, and we'll rebuke a mocker or someone that tramples the truth of God. But the biggest message is just warning them, calling them to come to Christ. And yeah, when we do the Lord's Supper, it reminds us of the great cost. And it burdens me to see people just trample the blood of Jesus so easily.
Yeah. Yeah, I actually talked about that today with a couple of older women that actually stood and listened.
Yeah,
so.
Amen.
Yeah. I do have my ending, normal scripture ending verse here.
Yeah.
Hebrews 11:23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child, and they, this part right here I love, And they were not afraid of the king's commandment.
I love that.
So the king said, you're supposed to kill the firstborn, but they weren't afraid of him, and they hid Moses.
Yep, they hid him and said, spared his life.
I love that. We want to be like that, sisters. Let's not be afraid of anything of this earth. We're to fear God, not fear man.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. Yeah, and after we did the Lord's Supper tonight, we gathered with the brethren, and we talked about, we had a whole bunch of good topics. We talked about, they're in the ecclesia gathering. We talked about resisting the devil. A brother brought one. We read Colossians 1, discussed it. And then, there was another topic. Resist the devil, Colossians 1, and let's see, we can look them up real quick now that's on my mind.
Hold on. Yeah, brother,
Brother
Zelos
brought
day.
Resist the devil. We had Lord's Supper discussion, resist the devil, and we read Colossians 1. And those will be up at the Ecclesia gathering area. And, it's a joy to have people that love the Lord, commit to the Lord, live for the Lord, walk in righteousness. And then when they come together, everybody encourages each other. And like a brother said, when he closed us in prayer, he said, thank you for the saints that help hold up my arms.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah, and you know.
And that's what we do for each other.
We do. You just made me think of something. So we're out there in the oceans of people and all these worldly carnal people rejecting the truth, claiming to be of Christ. And I popped on my phone and I was thankful for technology. Even though the internet was so bad, I called a couple sisters and the call went through.
Oh, it's awesome. I saw you talking to them.
Yeah, and I let them see a little bit of what was going on. Yeah, and
it's nice to share that with the brother.
Yeah, it was so refreshing to see godly, holy sisters in such a dark world. It was like uplifting, refreshing. Not that I get down or anything out there, but it was like it added a little bit more vigor to the rest of the day. It was
awesome. the saints of God are precious in His sight because there's so few.
Right.
There's so few. Even like I said, the people that claim Christ are not living for Him. They have a false Messiah, and so the true saints of God, the ecclesia, they're precious and worthy. Striving to be worthy and want to be worthy for our Savior, and it's just a glorious thing to get to know them.
It is, and I'd like to be able to turn around and see a brother and a brother and think of another brother and another brother. I mean, saints around the world standing for the truth of God. Amen. Love it. It's so uplifting.
That's what we're called to do, yeah. So, yeah, tomorrow I don't think we'll be able to preach, so we're just going to have a online day. It's going to be raining, stormy all night. I like sleeping. Do you like sleeping at night in van life?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
When it's raining, you mean, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh. In van life. I like listening to the patter on the roof and makes me sleep good.
We've been through some pretty bad ones.
We've been through some bad ones.
Remember that one time there was garbage cans flying in the air across the parking lot? I think it was like...
We were in a storm once so bad. Was that in Nebraska or somewhere?
I don't remember, but you moved us to on the other side of this great big monster motorhome and it helped cut the wind.
We had... It was in our older van. It was going to be like 60 and 70 mile an hour winds.
It was.
We have video of it somewhere.
Yeah.
I think we do. Of garbage cans literally flying across the parking lot and shopping carts like missiles flying across the parking lot. And Sister Amon's right. There was a big $1 million motorhome that pulled in the middle of Walmart and it was like a refuge. I went around and I parked on the other side of them and that big motorhome buffered our little van.
Yeah, that was
nice. Brutal. But tonight we're just having rain. I don't think it's going to be too stormy.
No, huh?
And so, it's kind of a nice, peaceful night after a long day. And so, we're thankful for everything that we get to do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's always a joy and a peace after we get to do one of these preaches, get to talk to some seekers, pour out the truth to thousands and thousands of people. It's always a great feeling of contentment and peace that the Lord allowed us to do a job, and hopefully we did it well done.
Yeah, we did our best.
Yeah, and our hands are clean.
Oh, yeah.
And anybody can reach out to us.
Yep.
And we'll move on down the road, and we'll do it again. And we're going to do it again. And we're
going to
do it again as long as the Lord lets us.
Right.
I just have one verse to close out. And I just can't help but think about this. When we see all these hordes of people, and most of them don't care about the truth of God at all. Romans 1, 17 through 20. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God, this is what we warned about today, is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. This is the big problem. People that even claim Christ, they're living their lives in unrighteousness and they're ignoring the truth. because that which may be known of God is made manifest in them, for God has showed it to them. People know in their conscience, don't they, Sister Amen, about the truth of God. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. So we just want to go and tell people, you're without excuse. You know there's a creator God. Your conscience shows you that. Even the people that are practicing homosexuals and drunkards and liar and church-going people and atheists and New Agers, they all have a conscience. And why do you think they hate us so much? The atheists, why do you think they war against us? Because their conscience tells them they're wrong and they're in danger and they hate the truth. And our master said we'd be hated for the truth, but that's okay. We stand in the broad road, we warn people, and hopefully some of them heed the warning and turn. Either way, God's glorified, whether he condemns them by their own choice or they'll be glorified with him in heaven one day.
Amen.
Anything else, Sister Amen?
No, I don't think so. Other than sending love to my sisters and the brethren.
Yeah, amen.
And to hold fast.
Hold fast in the faith. Look up. Keep your eyes on the Word of God. Christ is going to return. The world is getting darker. And we should always be talking about looking for his coming. We talked about the Lord's Supper. Apostle Paul says, proclaim his death till he comes. So we know he died. He shed his blood. And we know he rose again, and we know he's coming back again. So we need to be looking for that. Go read about the Christ returning, and that will greatly edify you.
Yeah.
All right, till next time, saints. The Lord lets us come to you again. Have a joyous day, evening, morning, afternoon, wherever you are. And hold fast to the truth of God.
Amen.
Our redemption draweth nigh.
It does.
God be praised.
Amen.